You're listening to SBS News.
The regional town of Wilcannia was already suffering from a housing crisis when the latest wave of COVID-19 hit, with only one hotel for temporary housing. Fulfilling isolation and quarantine requirements seemed near impossible for locals. Mary Renane, Community and Culture Manager at Wilcannia Safe House, told a New South Wales parliamentary inquiry on Monday local organisations had repeatedly tried to alert the government to these issues.
Any home where there was 10 or more and they needed to self-isolate, there was just never going to be a place that we could be able to accommodate them. In Wilcannia, and I brought this to attention before, we have government houses, police housing and teachers' flats that's vacant and remained vacant for a long time, long periods of time, and they were vacant throughout this time. You know, we have solutions on the ground, but the decision makers and the people that we have to talk to don't come to the table, don't want to hear about the solutions that we want to put forth.
Bakinji woman and Wilcannia resident Monica Kerwin-Wyman says Indigenous-led organisations also tried to include themselves in the government's decision-making, however, with little success.
We only wanted to be a part of a solution here. And, you know, what better way than to have grassroots people living in community on the ground in these situations, overcrowding, to be a part of a solution. But it's a top-down, bottom-approach, and it's a wrong approach, especially, you know, from government to its Aboriginal people.
The inquiry also heard that 5,000 workers in the Aboriginal-controlled medical sector weren't included in the public health order for all frontline health workers to be vaccinated before October. Peter Maloof, Executive Director of Operations at the Aboriginal Health and Medical Research Council of New South Wales, is questioning why more hasn't been done.
We are working with communities. We are caring for mob in the space. Why, you know, neglect us in that particular order?
He says it's been a total of 2 years of silence from state authorities.
We are now coming into mid-September in the second year of this outbreak, and the health minister and the chief health officer have not sat down with the peak Aboriginal medical service body to talk about the COVID response. That hasn't happened.
That hasn't happened at all.
It's shocking.
Mr. Maloof says the lack of Indigenous voices in COVID decision making is taking a huge toll on communities.
You're dealing with crisis in a chaotic environment. And so what's happening in Western New South Wales is that you've got people in the LHD that are managing, they believe that they're managing the COVID crisis out there and that they don't need any other partners in the space. We actually don't have Aboriginal community controlled health services at the table of the public health response, nor sitting at the table around the operations that's required to contain and support the increased infection rates, which is disappointing.
The state government admitted things could have been done better. Lillian Gordon, Aboriginal Affairs head, said things didn't go as well as they'd hoped.
Sorry, Aboriginal Affairs is working to ensure voices and experiences of Aboriginal communities are as much at the centre of responses to COVID as we can. We know the response to Delta has not gone as well as we may have hoped.
As the state charts its roadmap out of the pandemic, Mary Renane says locals fear they'll be no better off once the immediate crisis has passed.
Once they leave, we're back to square one. We're back to relying on a motel and the crisis accommodation that the Safe House provides. Our core business is domestic and family violence and homelessness. Mm. It's just, there's just nothing. There's not enough.
Sophia Petrovic, SBS News.